Are you curious about learning how to seek God? What would it be like to walk forward in your faith with greater confidence? Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson. And you can find out more about my books by visiting ts-thompson.com.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, founder of Your Christian Coach. You can discover more about my coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we talk about how to seek God in relation to your deeper Christian living. So that's the question of the day. How do you seek God? And oh, how I wish in this moment this was a live podcast where you all could call in and share your insights with us, because I know some of you listening right now have great testimonies of how you seek God's will in your life. And maybe some of you are tuning in because you're super curious as to how to seek Him because you just aren't quite sure how to get started. Well, that's what we're here to talk about today. Now, I've shared this story before. When I was in my early 20s, I felt like I was really wrestling with this question, how to seek God, how to hear from Him. I just couldn't figure out how to tackle it. And then the Holy Spirit revealed three simple steps for me to follow. He showed me that I needed to pray, I needed to read scripture, and I needed to seek godly counsel from like-minded believers in Jesus Christ. Well, those three simple steps were what I needed at that time in my life. But as the years have passed, you know, I've learned there's so much more to seeking God. It's all about a relationship. And the desires of my heart are an integral part of that too. In Jeremiah 29, the Lord speaks to the Israelites and He says to them in verses 12 and 13, "You will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's a powerful mental image for me. Searching for God with your whole heart. And for some reason, as I was thinking about this, I had this mental image of seeing myself holding binoculars up as if I was searching for Him with binoculars. But in all reality, that's not what it's like, because He isn't far away from me. I'm in Him and He's in me. And so we're going to dive much deeper into this passage from Jeremiah and other scriptures on the show today. But before I go any further, I'm going to give Tammy a chance to share. Tammy, how do you seek God?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, as you were talking about the binoculars, I could picture you out in the field with these binoculars. And then God takes the hand of the binoculars and goes, whoop.
Exactly.
I'm right here, Jo Heather.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's so fun. Visuals are great ways to really have, you know, as part of your relationship with God. But I know for me, the question you asked me is that, you know, there are different ways that I seek God depending upon kind of where I'm at and what I'm dealing with at the moment. Because sometimes, I'll be honest, I'll be reading His Word. It's different, you know. I'll be reading His Word, and I'll come to a passage that gets my attention. You know, the Holy Spirit say, go read that again, Tammy. And I'll read it, and so then I'll go ask God about it, and I'll ponder it for a couple days. And those are the times it's very enlightening, because when I'm reading God's Word and the revelations are coming out, it just seems to flow. It's very easy. God loves it when we ask Him about His Word. I mean, that to me, that's the easiest times, because I think I'm seeking God about His Word is important. And the meaning behind my motive is what? I want to know God more, right? So those are going to be the easiest times for me. Then there are the low stress times when I'm seeking God about direction for my business, books that I'm writing, you know, things that aren't pressing, or maybe in relationships questions, you know, things that are just general life questions that I want His advice on, right? And so I'm typically able to talk to God at ease with these. I'll go have tea, I'll sit outside, I'll walk in my garden. It's very peaceful and very relaxing. And I trust Him. I trust Him during these times that He's going to bring these things out to for His glory, and things are going to be a blessing in my life. So there's a lot of trust when it comes with there. Now, and then here comes the big thunderbolt, right? So the difficult times, and I think this is why a lot of people are tuning in and listening, right? Is that, you know, how do we talk to God during difficult times? And when I'm burdened, battle fatigued, I'm run down. You know, these, and I'm waiting for a long time. This is another one for me. When I'm waiting for a long time to hear from God, to have my prayers answered, I admit these are they're difficult times in seeking God. I'll seek him one way and I won't hear anything. I'll seek him another way. And I get confused while I'm waiting, you know. And so I'll give you some example. When I feel, you know, pressured, where I'm like, I have a large amount of money that's due for something. Maybe a car repair came in and I don't have it. You know, something unexpected. The dishwasher broke. Oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, and the clock's ticking. Or maybe somebody says, hey, you got, you know, 10 days to pay this bill. You know, or, you know, 45 days to put a brand new roof on your house. I mean, who knows what it could be? You know what I mean? There's pressure. There is pressure that comes from that. And it's not, I mean, those are the hardest times. I mean, I need to hear from God now. When I have an immediate need that says, I need this met now, God, I have a hard time because I don't feel at peace. When I have pressure from things, I don't feel at peace. And it seems like Joe Heather without the, with the binoculars, like God's so far away. And maybe you feel that way too. You know, so today we're going to be sharing, you know, how to seek God during our struggles. So stay tuned because we're going to fill you in on some key helping points here. But first, I want to take a moment to let you know how you can find us. So depending upon what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. But the most important thing you can do is to share this episode, this podcast, with those around you who you know are in need of some love and encouragement. Maybe you know somebody right now you're struggling with. They don't know how to talk to God. I don't know how to talk to God. I don't know how to hear from him. Share this podcast. And also on our website at loveandencouragement.com, we feature early access to both video and audio every Wednesday. So a good way to get that too is to sign up on our email list. We have a form on our website. Go fill it out and we'll email you the podcast every Wednesday.
That's awesome, Tammy. Thanks for sharing that. You know, when you are down, and you don't have anybody to talk to in that moment, you know, we're saying get back into the Bible. And you're going to, you know, find what you need there. And I'm going to take us through an example. So right now, my husband and I are reading through the Old Testament books that focus on the final days of the Israelites in exile and their return to Judah to rebuild their nation. And so if you're curious, these five historical books are 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. So with that period of history in mind, I'm going to ask you to try something a little bit different with me today. And part of it is going to be using your imagination and walking through an exercise that I pray that you will find impactful. And what we're doing is just, it's putting you into a certain mindset and then helping us as we were talking about the seeking God. How to seek God. So if you're at home or in your office, you can grab a sheet of paper and tear it into five pieces that are large enough for you to write one word on each piece. So it doesn't have to be big. If you need to pause the podcast to do this, I encourage you to do that, but be sure and come back. I don't want you to get distracted and miss what's coming. So if you're in a place where you cannot write anything down, don't worry. Just use your imagination to do this exercise. So I want you to imagine or physically take the five pieces. And once you have those pieces of paper, I want you to write down the five most important things in your life. And just use one word to represent that thing. So you might write down, you know, something like faith or family or friends or church, health, exercise, sports, work, home, children, grandchildren, money, community, you know, whatever it's going to be for you. Just jot those down quickly because probably you don't have to spend a lot of time on this part because I have a feeling you already know what your top five most important things are in your life. So jot those down. So now I want you to pick up one of these slips. I've got mine. And I want you to take a breath and I want you to drop that slip on the floor, and you're letting it go as you let it drop. You just let it go, drop it to the floor. And I want you to really imagine what it would be like to leave that part of your life behind. So just take a pause in that. And now you're going to have to drop another slip. Pick a second one. Pick it up. Look at it. Think about it for a minute. And I want you to drop that to the floor too. And imagine you're leaving that behind. What does that feel like? What would it be like to not have that thing in your life anymore? And now if you have time, I want you to quietly go through the next three slips that you have left, one at a time, just taking those and dropping it to the floor. And I want you to notice if your heart is racing at the thought of leaving behind that important thing. Do you feel like almost sick in your stomach at the thought of losing these things? Now, you have a very, very, very small inkling of what it was like for the Israelites when they went into exile. In a tiny way, you can imagine what it would be like to be taken away from everything you've ever known and held most dear. You're forced to leave your home, to leave your family, to leave your vocation, to leave your faith. And a bit in that moment, you would feel like it was impossible to seek God. You might even feel like He abandoned you. And let's be honest with yourself in this moment. Have you ever felt like that in your life, that God's abandoned you? Well, you know I have good news today because this is love and encouragement to live by. God never abandoned the Israelites and He's never abandoned you. When the Israelites finally turned back to Him, He was right there waiting. And if you feel like you haven't been seeking God in your life up to that point, this point of this moment, that's okay. Guess what? He's right there waiting for you to do what He recorded in Jeremiah 29, 12, and 13. Call upon Him. Go and pray to Him. He will listen. Seek Him. He promises you will find Him when you search for Him with your whole heart. And maybe you're sitting here in this moment and you're realizing, oh, you have a half-hearted attitude toward God. Maybe you think about Him when you stumble upon this podcast each week, or maybe you pay attention to God while you listen to an online church service, but then you walk away and you don't seek God as you move throughout your day. You don't talk to Him about what's on your mind. You know, maybe you don't ask Him what to do when you're in a dilemma. But imagine what it would be like if you sought God with your whole heart. Now, we're going to give you more specifics about how to seek God in just a moment. But I want to give Tammy an opportunity to share. She has a powerful story. I want you guys to listen to Tammy for a minute.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe Heather. That was quite intense the way you presented that. Leaving, we have no, if we haven't been through something like that, we have no idea what it's like. And maybe some people out there have lost their whole family and their home. You know, there's lots of natural disasters that happen, you know, every year, you know, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, fires, you know, and it's hard. I mean, it's hard when you just lose one thing, you know. But yeah, God's there through everything, through the storm. And I'm going to share a little bit about that with my life. Cause it can seem like God has left, you know, when your world around you is falling apart. And I've gone through some dark, desperate times in my life. I'm not going to share all of them cause there's a ton. But, you know, cause there were more was coming to my mind as Joe Heather was talking, you know, but I'll share a few here. So one time I recall, shortly after I'd had that car accident in 2006. And I remember it was a few months afterwards. And I woke up one morning. I had pain in my head and shooting down my arms and legs. And I couldn't raise my head off the pillow. And I knew in my heart what it was, you know. And I told my husband, I said, you got to take me to the hospital. And so long story short, I had had 7 herniated discs and multiple tears in my spine. So when my kids came down with a virus, that's just a little, it was nothing, it was like a little cold, right? When it came to me, it went straight into my spinal fluid. Mm-hmm. And so I got viral meningitis from that. And so I was like in a coma for 4 days. They rolled me over to do a spinal tap. And it was 4 days later when I came to briefly. And I'll tell you, I've never felt so sick in my life. I felt too sick to fight. And all I remember at the time, and all I could say was, God, I feel too sick to pray. That was it. My head hurts too much. I can't pray. I wanted to. In my heart, I wanted to cry out to God, and I couldn't, you know. And I was in and out of it for 8 days. You know, I don't, at the time, you know, if there was a moment where I could identify looking back when somebody's ready to go to heaven, that would have been it. That's how sick I was. I was, you know, I can see why people give up and just want to go. But God never left me. It was not my time. He had plans for me. As you can see, I'm speaking here today to you. You know, I had those boys to raise up. And so even though with my words, I couldn't speak with my heart pleaded and he heard me and he answered it and he delivered me. So a few days later when I was, you know, I was in the hospital for 8 days, like I said, I learned if meningitis is not enough, I learned that my adrenal glands had shut down. Now my levels should have been off the charts. You know, I should have been in overdrive fighting this infection, but instead they kept dropping like 0.0 or something. And my doctor was really confused as to, you know, why this was. But the Lord, I believe he gave him, he said, I want you to run this test. He said, it's an unusual test. I'm going to run it. And he ran anyways. And so I believe that God was directing my doctor to say, look here, and you will find what you need to do to help her. And he did. And so it's because I should have died, to be honest. Looking back, people are like, you're in the medical field, like you have meningitis and no immune system. That's a miracle, you know. So there's, you know, but even when, my point with this whole thing is even when I didn't know how to pray, I wasn't like I could just open my Bible and, you know, my heart was still there and the Lord was still with me. And so that really, looking back on that, that's one of my go-tos is that, well, he got me through that. You know, he got me through that. He'll get me through this. You know what I mean? So another example I want to give you is, I'm going to give you two examples today, is from recently, because we're legitimate on this show. We still go through things. It's not like we've arrived at some platform we're speaking from, you know. I don't think there is a platform, to be honest. I think you're always going to deal with difficulties on different levels, no matter where you are in life. So I've been going through some very strenuous, you know, difficult times for, you know, I'd say a good 6 weeks probably. You know, I've had a handful of, you know, major financial and time-consuming tasks, constraints demanding on me. You know, and I knew these things were coming, but they all came at once, which was just the strangest thing. But I started off the month with the full armor of God on, with confidence in the Lord. I'm going to get through this. I don't know how, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I know I'm going to get through this. But I admit, as the month dragged on, I started to feel beaten down. Maybe you do too with something you're going through. You know, because even though I'd had victories were still coming in. I mean, one thing at a time. God took care of this. He took care of that. Things were coming in. I still started to feel weary and worn out. You know, these were high stress items, you know, that were coming, and the pressure, you know, you talk about anxiety and stress. It wasn't so much anxiety and stress, but it was the pressure, the demands upon me. You know, I still got to do this podcast despite what's going on in my life. I still got to raise my children despite what's going on in my life. I still got to pay the bills. I still got to go food shopping. I still have to function despite all these extra burdens that were coming against me. But I found it harder as the month went on to reach out to God, to seek him, right? Let alone be at a place where I could hear from him, because I find it difficult when I'm stressed to be able to hear from him. And I'd had little sleep. I mean, sometimes only 4 hours a night, you know, because I had to stay up late to meet deadlines, you know, and I knew in my heart, I could feel the Holy Spirit. You desperately need to go have some time with the Lord, Tammy, you know, where I could come to him. And I know when I come to the Lord, I have to be at that peaceful place. I can't really come to him with all, I have to first discard all that stress and that anxiety, come to him in a place of peace so I can speak to him and I can hear him. But, you know, so I know I need this time. So I closed my door so the kids wouldn't come in. They know my door is closed, you know, don't bother mom. So that way I could have some personal time. And I grabbed my Bible and I dropped to my knees. And I asked the Lord to give me a word, you know, a word of encouragement. Just give me a word or something. So I opened my Bible and God is so faithful. I tell you, he is so faithful. He is there. And where did he bring me up to? You know, I opened my Bible and I, because, you know, you get stuff on both sides, but he directed my eyes to a passage that I had already previously underlined. And this is in the Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. And I'm going to read them to you. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, that's me and you, in accordance with God's will. So the Lord was directing me to where I was. This is where you are, Tammy, right? Meaning I wasn't even saying the whole day, God, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what to pray for. As I'm walking around doing all my busy stuff, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. I don't even know what to ask for anymore, God. What do I need? I don't know. You know? And so going to Romans 8 verses 26 to 27 is where he gave me instructions. You know, he doesn't always give you an instant download of an answer, but he'll give you instructions. It's like he gave my doctor instructions to how to treat me. He was giving me instructions so I would know what to do. So at that moment when I read those and I knew that was for me, I just collapsed my head against the bed and I wept and I wept and I started praying in tongues, because that's what this is talking about here. When you know, groans and stuff that I can't understand, right? You know, I don't know what I'm saying, but my spirit does, you know, and it intercedes for me. So it's my spirit speaking words I can't express, but the Holy Spirit knows what they are. As I'm seeking God, he intercedes on my behalf. That's what that verse is saying. So in my two examples here, I didn't have the ability to pray with words, right? With the meningitis and fighting for my life, I was too sick to pray. Maybe you've been in a situation like that before. But my soul cried out, you know, I knew in my heart I was crying out to God, right? And he helped me. And the other time, I was in too much distress and physically worn down that I didn't know what to pray for. But God directed me, right, back to his word, right? And so my spirit groaned out and spoke to the Lord on my behalf. I still don't even know what it said. It doesn't matter. The Lord knows, because my spirit knows what I needed, right? Even when I couldn't form it, I was too burnt out to say the words. So it's okay. I want to say it's okay if you get to a point like this when you can't pray and you don't know what to pray, right? But I seek God. Seek him with your heart, right? Because sometimes the mind, you know, we don't know in our mind. But if you seek him with your heart, he will be with you and he will guide you through whatever trial you are facing. And with that, I'm going to take a moment today to pause and let you know that Love and Encouragement to Live By is sponsored today by our very own Jo Heather Dodson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Are you ready to discover what's next in your life? As a credentialed coach, Jo Heather provides a space for you to discover the answers you need for your work and life. Partnering with her through prayer-filled, structured conversations, you will create action plans aimed at fulfilling your God-given purpose and calling. You can find out more about Jo Heather and her coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. That's yourchristiancoach.net. Plus, if you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, or if you want to feature your favorite ministry effort, contact us at loveandencouragement.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Tammy. So we're talking about how to seek God, and Tammy's given some great examples from her life of, you know, how to do this and what it looks like, whether things are going well or things are not going well. And so now I want to take a few minutes to share some ideas for you to also consider as you step forward into seeking God more deeply with your whole heart. And for me, one of the best ways to seek God is just spending time getting to know him. And how do you get to know someone? As Tammy said, you spend time with them. You talk with them and find out what they like and they don't like. You share your heart with them in return. And so a great way to get to know God is through his word. Tammy said the Lord took her back to his word. Get in his word. You know, as Jesus said in Matthew 7:8, he that seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened. So just pick a book in the Bible, maybe something that's your favorite. And now I want you to read it with a question in mind. What does that book reveal to you about God? One time I challenged my middle school Sunday school class to read through the Psalms and just look for words that described who God is. You know, get to know him. And maybe try that. It's a neat way to make a list of what you discover about God. And by making those discoveries, you're going to get to know him better. And it's going to make it that much easier for you to seek him. So another way to seek God is by talking with him. T- Tammy's talked about it. I've talked about it. We started today by looking at Jeremiah 29. In this passage and many other places, God directs his people to pray to him. And he says he will listen because God wants to hear your voice. He wants you to share with him your hopes and your fears and your dreams and your nightmares. You know, he wants you to talk with him all day long. You know, it doesn't just have to be prayers at bedtime or before a meal. You know, you can talk with him silently in your thoughts as you're with other people, or you talk with him out loud as you do chores around your house. Just make it a point to talk with God throughout your day. This is just an awesome way to actively and continually seek him, continue to build that relationship, right? You're spending time together, you're sharing, you're receiving. And maybe you aren't sure what to talk about with God. Maybe you're in that place. So I'm going to give you an idea around the word gratitude, and you're going to hear more about it termed as thanksgiving from Tammy shortly. But you can use gratitude as a tool to help you get started because it's pretty easy, right? Gratitude, maybe it's not for you. I shouldn't say that. It feels easy for me, and I've been teaching my kids to do this. Okay, thank God for waking you up in the morning. What about that? Thank him for giving you the ability to bathe yourself at the start of the day. Or maybe for you, it's thanking him for that first cup of coffee, right? Today, I was thanking God for the sunshine and gas in the car. Wow. You know, so the list can go on and on. If you just start to notice, I was on the phone with a lady that I know yesterday, and she was telling me she had been on a trip. She says, I saw God's fingerprints all over the whole trip. You know, she said, I could just go on and tell you. And we said, hey, it's what are you looking for, right? What are you looking? Are you seeing his fingertips? Are you saying thank you for the things that you do see? So whatever it may be, use gratitude to help you build your habit of seeking God through prayer. Another way to seek God is by spending time with other Christians and talking about God and your faith. You know, a key word in Jeremiah 29:12 is the word go. You might not have even noticed it when I read through it earlier. It says, then you will call upon me, meaning God, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So as I was curious about that word, I was like, what is go doing in the middle of that passage? So as I studied, I learned that the word go most likely was calling the Israelites back to the temple or places of prayer and worship. And maybe when you hear this, this is a call to you. Maybe you've gotten out of the habit of worshiping or studying with others during what's been our COVID days. You know, it makes sense to me that you might be having a hard time getting back into the habit of sharing with others. But there is strength when you gather with others to talk about God and learn about him. And it pleases God when you do this. You know, I was reading in Jeremiah 9. I told you we were reading through those books. We were in Jeremiah 9, and it's when Jeremiah gathered the people together in an open square, and Ezra read God's word to the people. And it says they read the word together, and they helped each other understand the reading. You know, and you can do this too. And while you do it, you will be seeking God in the process, and you'll be growing with other believers. Now, there are lots of other ways to seek God in your daily life. It may be through speaking in tongues, as Tammy mentioned. It may be worship music. For you, it might be a time of fasting. It might be, again, reading his word and learning to trust in his grace. Tammy, I've given a lot there, but what are some other ways that you've seen that come alive in your life?
Yeah, that was a lot. That's good because this is a very in-depth packed episode that we're doing. We're giving you a lot of tools here that you can use. And so it's important ways you listed on how to seek God. So thank you for that. Now for me, you know, I'm an author, I'm a Christian author, so I'm constantly working on different books. And sometimes these studies go back several years. So I'm working on a book, and I'm hoping that it comes out later this year. But there was when we were preparing for this podcast, the Holy Spirit brought back to my remembrance, hey, Tammy, you did a whole section on prayer in this book that you're working on. Why don't you go read that and bring it out? And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this and how it pertains to what we're talking about today, because it's seeking God, and prayer is a way, you know, that we use can use to communicate with God. So I'm going to be sharing with you the study of this powerful insight for verses. So I just taken a small part of that book I'm working on, and we'll be talking about Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 through 7, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then the second verse, 7, says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." So let's break this verse down. This is what I was doing in my study. Let's break this verse down, because I think it's a blueprint for prayers. So verse 6 talks about what we do, and verse 7 talks about what God does in response to us. So I like to look at this verse in other translations. So careful is another word used for anxious, as is used in the NIV version. So depending, you might say something else, but this is what it's, they mean the same thing. So be careful for nothing and do not be anxious about anything are saying the same thing. This is telling us not to be this way. That's the clear message. Don't be this way. So then the next word is but. So like Johei was talking about noticing a little small word. I notice words too. But, meaning choose this over the previous option of anxiety. You can be anxious, but choose not to be. Instead of that, do this. I think it's important that we see this as a choice. Many people feel powerless over stress. They are in bondage to it. But God is saying, nope, there's another way. And he spells it out in these two verses, right? So if there's another option, it means you have a choice, right? Right? In fact, he's telling you not to pick the first option of being anxious over anything. Yes, anything. There's no little fine print there in the verse that I could see. It's anything. He's saying, but instead do this. So the next word I want to discuss is supplication, as it's not a word typically that we find spoken today. You don't hear people walking around saying that word. So it simply means to petition or to make an earnest request. And that's what it's saying. In other versions, it actually probably says to petition. So I want you to notice three things in this verse that we are told to be careful or anxious for nothing. Number one, we are to pray. Number two, we are to petition or with supplication. Number three, you do the first two with thanksgiving. So these three things are important in how we approach God. So let's take a look at each of these in detail. I'm going to break it down for you because you might be a little confused that sounds like weird, Tammy, you know, the way these things are broken down. So the first is to pray, and that's pretty obvious. That's what most people do when they go to God. But it's like, how do we pray, right? So God is saying right away to bring it to him. Come to me with these things that you're troubled over. That's what the Lord's saying. When? In everything. In every situation, come and pray. Do not be anxious about anything. If you're anxious, what do you do? Pray, right? It's very simple when you can see it this way. You know, when you start to feel that anxiety, just pray. Just take a moment. You can pray wherever you are, right? God is saying that prayer is the solution to all of your worry. Not some things or sometimes. No, it is the answer all the time. Number two, how do you pray is the next part. By supplication, meaning an earnest request to petition God. This is the part of you asking God for his favor over your situation. That's what you're doing, right? And you do it earnestly with seriousness of importance. And, you know, and that's what it means to petition. You know, you think about people who petition stuff at the government, they do it with everything they got. They're fighting for something. You are fighting to bring something to the Lord, right? It's not some effortless attempt like, oh, and by the way, God, can you take care of this? That's not what this kind of prayer means. No, you are to present your case. You're going to God. I picture a big throne room when I do this. I go to the Lord and he's up on his throne and I'm coming and I have my case. And I'm presenting my case to him, like in a courtroom, right? Not that he's going to be the judge and a jury, but you come to him. He's got the authority to take care of whatever I'm bringing him, right? So I'm presenting my case to God with all intent on the pursuit to obtain the answer that I'm longing for, right? Because what's the point of going to God if you don't think he's going to be able to take care of whatever your request is, right? So that's where we get to the next part, right? Where we do all of this with thanksgiving. That may seem like an odd thing to kind of throw in there. I mean, you're anxious and you're coming to God with your stressful situation, petitioning him. And then you get this part and, oh, by the way, do it with thanksgiving. And you might find that confusing, especially if you're like full of anxiety. How am I supposed to be happy and joyful? No, this is the key to the successful prayer life. And so most people here, I don't know where you're listening from, but in the U.S. think of Thanksgiving as a holiday feast, right? But the word actually means to act, an act of rendering thanks for good received or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. Think about that. When you see Thanksgiving like that, that's what it means. So in this verse, Thanksgiving is you expressing gratitude for favors received on what? Your prayers, right? That's right. You go to God confident, trusting God that you're giving him this situation that's causing you all this stress and all this anxiety, right? And you're going to give it to him. And what? He's going to give you peace. The verse says he's going to exchange whatever crud, whatever all this ugliness that you have, this stress and this burden and this, you know, and he's going to say, I'll take that, Tammy. Here, I got something else for you. I'm going to give you peace in exchange for it. That's what this verse is saying. So, and I think that's awesome, right? That this is, you know, this is why the whole beginning says, do not be anxious about everything. Give it to me and I'll give you peace. If you can grasp and take a hold of this concept, then you will have Thanksgiving when you pray and you petition God. So to recap, this is how you make your request known to God. In case you missed it, I'm going to go through it again by doing three things. You pray, you petition with thanksgiving, right? So here comes the promise in verse 7, right after the word and. You do this and God will do this. And the peace of God, and I'll read it for you again, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's a powerful promise. It is something to get excited over. It really is. God says, if you do that, if you pray and petition me with thanksgiving, I'm going to give you peace. Peace beyond your understanding. Which is true because we don't understand how we can have peace when we're stressed out. Because in our minds, we're thinking we should be feeling anxiety, stress, worry over whatever situation. You know, that's the way the world thinks, right? You should have cause for stress. No way should you be feeling peace in the midst of what you're going through. But that is the answer that we are promised when we come to God in prayer, you know, with supplication, petitioning him with thanksgiving. And that's why we have thanksgiving in our heart, because God has given us this promise of peace that God's going to surpass all your understanding. Then this peace beyond your understanding is going to keep you and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I love this little part, in case you could read over this and just miss it. But the word keep actually means to hold, to retain in one's power or possession, to preserve from falling or from danger, to protect, to guard, or sustain. That's what this is what Jesus is going to do, right? He's going to guard our hearts and minds. That's our thoughts, so that we don't have doubts that come in that weaken our faith. Jesus said, I got it. I got you right here, Tammy. You know, he can help us with our thoughts. So that's what will happen in our hearts and our minds, in and through Jesus, not in and through ourselves. We don't deal with stuff the same way the world does. It is through the power of Jesus, right? So if you can trust this promise of Jesus and his ability to fulfill it, then yes, this verse can and will come alive in your life to not be anxious about anything. God has a plan and he spelled it out. He shared it with you. Don't worry. Instead, pray, petition with thanksgiving, and he will give you the peace beyond your comprehension and guard your mind and your heart through Jesus. Now, I got to say amen to that one, because that's a powerful way to pray.
And I'll join you in that. Amen. It is a powerful way to pray. And it makes me think about other parts of the word where we're told to just rest in him. And rest doesn't mean sitting down. We've talked about this in a previous episode. It means trusting and leaning into the peace that Tammy just described, that the word tells us about, that perfect peace that surpasses understanding. And what a great way for us to close on that word of wisdom from the word today. Thank you to Tammy for that. Prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. And of course, with all of that and the other tips in mind, I'm going to give you a challenge question of the week. You know, I love to leave you with something to think about that helps in your journey to grow. And here's the question. How can you remember to seek God not only in the big things, but in the everyday things as well? Thank you for taking time to join us today. Just as a reminder, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. If you want to be a sponsor of one of those future episodes, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. Join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.